WIP. Are we here? There we go. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Got to get Danny back here, honestly.
Come on, Dave. This is your first engineering?
We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly on Packer Ave. Coming up at 6 o'clock, live from Chickie and Pete's, will be the Brandon Graham Show. We are here every Monday at 6 with the Brandon Graham Show. Howard Eskin already in the house for the show. Brandon Graham will be here at 6. If you are headed to the Phils tonight, stop by Chickies beforehand. Say hi to Brandon Graham. Celebrate the Eagles' victory. So that's coming up at 6 o'clock. But right now, we have everyone's favorite, which is the top 5 at 5, which is, hold on, is brought to you by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro.
Each the 5.
Number 5.
At 5.
5.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, 5. Beautiful 5.
That's right, and the Eagles are now gathering around their little radios, waiting to hear who gets a game ball after yesterday's just dominant effort. The fifth game ball goes to Jeff Stoutland.
Oh.
I mean, what a stud. What a stud this guy is. Like, Lane Johnson went out, Mekhi Becton goes out, and they didn't really miss a beat. Like, they didn't miss a beat with bringing in a guy named Fred.
Who, again, Johnson.
Anyone that's under 30 named Fred is a miracle. But I think he shows his worth on a week-in, week-out basis. And they've transitioned really well from post-Kelsey. That was a big concern. I mean, Cam Jurgens, I think, has done a really good job. Jeff Stoutland, whatever game they're ball. Paying him isn't enough.
Game ball to Coach Stout.
You know, he is one of those guys that sometimes I think, he can't be that good. But he must be. He's like the football version of, what was the name of the Spurs shooting coach guy who made everybody a good shooter?
I forget his name.
He's with OKC now. I forget his name. But Stoutland must obviously be awesome because the way that you can really tell when somebody gets hurt, that's when, because even the Super Bowl year, there ends up being somebody who we didn't think was good on the
Halapulibate Mata.
Yeah, that is a backup that all of a sudden, when they're starting, they're good now, and the team doesn't miss a beat. That was incredible.
They've never really struggled. I mean, 2020 was the only real year where they kind of fell off a cliff. But like
COVID.
They picked Jamone Brown up off waivers. Yeah, he was horrible.
Don't remind us of that.
Chip Englund is the Spurs coach. Couldn't remember.
Yes.
Anyway,
number 4. And Spike is going to do his best, and it's Spike's only mission the rest of the season is to convince this guy not to retire. But the fourth game ball I'm giving to Brandon Graham.
BG.
So, first off, Alvin Kamara is coming in just roasting everyone, like having an unbelievable year. They play BG a lot. He comes in one of the best edge, or still their best edge rusher. I think shuts down the edge from the standpoint of in the run game, which is massive because neither Sweat or Huff like doing it. He gets a lot of credit for that, but once again, final play of the game, he got pressure on Derek Carr, got in his face, and made Derek Carr make a mistake. Brandon Graham gets a fourth game ball.
Man.
He can't retire.
Not allowed.
He's the best edge on the team.
Still.
Yeah.
Knows how to play
year
the game.
15.
Yep.
Unbelievable. So tonight at the at the Brandon Graham Show, I'm going to have Pete bring him so much food. Just make him feel so loved so he comes back for yet another year. I would be fine for the 2-year retirement tour of Brandon Graham.
I tell you what, they won't be getting him back here for $4.5 million.
He's like, Yeah, right.
BG, hell, if I knew I was going to play this much, I would have asked for more money.
You know what? You sit down, Bryce Huff, and you go, look, man.
Go take some of that. Yeah. You have
to
BG.
I have to be honest with you, Bryce. We love you. But take 11 instead of 17? It only seems fair.
Yep.
The third game ball I'm giving to the guy who I know we all love, PFF, but their highest graded defender yesterday, a score of 95.
Wow.
Which I believe is 95 out of 100.
PFF is the truth.
Which means a damn close to a perfect game, and that is Jalen Carter. I mean, Jalen, last week I named him.
What are you, number 3?
What?
Number 2?
He's number 1. Oh, he's my third game ball.
Yeah, how is he 3?
We had some big performances that we got to get to. Listen, he was dominant. He's a game wrecker. Last week I put him on my blame list because I'm like, where's the game wrecking Jalen Carter? We finally saw it. It was aided because obviously the Saints center went out. He tossed them around yesterday, and it was a dominant performance from Jalen Carter.
Yeah. I think it might have been his best game.
Yeah, I think so,
as a pro.
Yeah.
You know, last year he had Fletch next to him. You know, so I think he took a lot of people by surprise early in the season. Like, yesterday is what looks like a franchise cornerstone player.
Yes.
Like that's what he looked like yesterday.
Looks like the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they were expecting when they took him number 9 and traded up for him. So, okay.
I know who's going to be 2 and who's going to be 1.
Yeah.
Jalen Carter should be 1 over those two guys.
I don't think so.
The Eagles scored 15 points.
You might be right. Okay. Anyway, the second game ball goes to Dallas Goedert. Headed not for the limitations of the quarterback, he probably would have gone for 200-plus yards yesterday. He had 170 yards, all things considered.
Yeah.
And
career high. Catches and yards.
I believe it's also a franchise record for tight end yards in a game.
Oh, yeah?
Or the first since Rhett Slapp.
Man, that's a ways back.
That is a ways back. And it's not like Ertz is some scrub.
Well, we love Ertz.
Sell it.
But he wasn't giving us yak.
No, he wasn't giving us yak. He had that nickname for a reason. No yak sack. But Dallas Goedert was – that's – hey, how about we don't forget about him for 7 weeks?
Yeah, how about that?
He's still there.
Well,
he's still there.
I'm sure the Eagles are like, well, he's a free agent at the end of the year, and we only have so much allocated to tight end, so maybe we do 4 targets instead of 10.
Well, he will get targets if AJ and Devontae don't suit up this week.
He's going to get a lot of targets.
He'll get a lot next week.
Yeah, take an IV this week. Maybe don't practice.
I think the Bucs are well aware of who Dallas Goedert is. But my number one game ball goes to Saquon. The second Devontae goes out, Saquon breaks the big run, gets in the lead, and then also clinches it late. Ran for 140-some yards again. He already has 6 touchdowns on the year.
He played
a 3-week one.
He did. Maybe. He didn't score any.
Yeah, well, listen, I had the same game.
Don't think, there it is again. Yeah. I knew that was happening.
Yeah, no, it's on me. It's on me. It always comes back to gambling. He should have had it. Whatever.
His knee went down.
Whatever. He's got 5 touchdowns. He's had an unbelievable start to the season. And I think they'd be 0-3 without Saquon. I think they lose to Green Bay. I think they lose last week, and they lose that Saints game.
By the way, and I only know this because he's on my fantasy team, DeAndre Swift is averaging about 1.5 yards a carry. Every game is 12 carries for 18 yards for Swift. And I think one thing that gets said across the league, and a lot of times it's true, especially you see McCaffrey go out and his backup comes in and runs a lot, is that people say the difference between the top flight running back and the next level is just not that big. But when you watch Saquon Barkley and you're like, yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah, this is why he was the number 2 overall pick in the draft.
Uh-huh.
He has elite game-breaking speed. He has size, even though he's not a quote-unquote power runner, but he still has enough size to be able to break tackles. And I'd be interested to go back and see the game against Green Bay where he broke that run, and that one yesterday, they look very similar. Like, the running plays look similar, and I was thinking in that Green Bay game, if he was just able to get away from that last defender and break to his right, he would have scored just like he did yesterday.
Yeah.
The big run he had in the Green Bay game was like 30-some yards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, man, if he just breaks off to the right, he's going to score. And it seemed like that's what he did yesterday.
He also was so good in pass protection yesterday on that last drive that it got a penalty that gave the Eagles some free yards that got them a little bit closer. I think that was
the one with the hands to the face?
Yeah, I think that was going to be a third down.
Yeah.
And that gave them an automatic first down.
Yeah. Man.
Good player.
Man, he's good.
Can we put Jalen Carter number 1, though, there? Or do you want him to earn a number 1? They held the Saints to 13 points.
You're right. But, I mean, Saquon did.
Yes.
The second Devontae went down, he went for 61.
Yes.
I mean, Dallas Goedert did.
Yes. But with all that production, we have 15 points.
Yes.
Good point.
Yeah. Now, am I okay not giving Jalen a game ball?
Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, based on the guys you gave it to.
Who are you going to take out?
I want to make sure. Yeah. Being fair to old QB1.
But listen.
Old QB1.
Yeah, it's hard to say without the turnovers. That's what I was getting ready to fix my mouth to say is, without the turnovers, he played a pretty good game.
Here's an alarm.
Was he 28 of 39?
Something
pretty
like
good.
That.
Yeah.
Here's a stat that...
What, is he Sam Bradford now?
Here's a stat that doesn't seem great.
Yeah.
So Daniel Jones has more touchdown passes and fewer interceptions than Jalen Hurts does this year.
He does?
He does.
He has more touchdown passes?
Yeah, Jalen only has 3, and I think Daniel Jones has 4.
Wow.
And Jalen has 6 turnovers, which is second or third in the league.
Second or third? Who has more?
Total. Yeah.
Who has eight?
Does Bryce Young have 8?
No, because he's on the bench.
Who's the other guy?
Will Levis?
Maybe it's Levis. I think it's Levis. Has 8. Somebody has 8. So,
man.
This hour.
3 games?
Yes. This hour is brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door. Get the second at half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com.
Yeah, Will Levis has 8. Jalen has 6. Richardson has 6. And Caleb Williams has 5.
Okay.
So the Twitter question.
All that accuracy.
The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. Jack, I'm ordering you to put another Twitter question.
Okay.
Who should get the number one game ball, Dallas Goedert, Saquon Barkley, or Jalen Carter? Put that up there.
Okay.
215-592-9494. John and King of Prussia, you're on WIP.
Hey, thank you. First time in quite a long time. I really, really want to get to a Phillies point because I am a baseball first guy, as you may recall.
Love it. Take as much time as you need.
Do it second.
Look, I am thrilled that the Eagles ended up with an ugly win. I was telling and exactly not how I thought it was going to go. I told a buddy of mine at work to take the over, take 72 points, take 80 if you need to. But, 27 total points. Jalen Carter balling out. I think he, was comfortable in the Superdome being an SEC guy. I think it, was his third game in a five-lineman modified 3-4 Fangio defense, which was an awesome change. The one thing that I think the Eagles really need to do better, conveniently piggyback on your point, is me being an old-school kind of football guy, we need to give Saquon 35 touches a game. That's a really high freaking number, but until AJ's healthy, until Devontae's healthy. And Jeff Stoutland. Stoutland, you don't think we could come up with some great plays, him and Kellen Moore with 6-man offensive lines? You got the horse, ride it.
Yeah, well, they're not going to really have a choice, as you said.
Yeah, I know.
I don't even know if they're going to be able to get away from it this year. I mean, he is.
I think they really tried that yesterday.
They did.
They deliberately didn't give him the ball early.
I also think the Saints, on some level, were probably at the beginning of the game saying, okay, nothing from him.
Right.
You beat me, you know?
Yep. Yeah,
and
they were.
Offensive coordinators, first of all, it's a very difficult situation to be in there, especially for a coordinator who can see in their mind, see the field, and say, if they're going to do this, if they're going to do X, Y will be very easy for us. But then if it doesn't work, you're stuck. And it wasn't really until the second half that they really started giving the ball to Saquon and it took off. But, man, he is he is unreal.
Yeah, and if you watch closely, my diagnosis of what was going on in the first half is the Saints back seven had one, even sometimes two defenders coming downhill really fast and trying to take away, sometimes almost double teaming two different gaps, and it's that's really hard to run against.
It's really hard when somebody tries to double team two gaps.
Yeah, and that's what the Saints were doing.
Yep,
and our offensive line wasn't even offering the best running back in the NFL, if healthy, any kind of cutback lanes, any kind of those miracle jump cuts that only he could make.
Mm-hmm.
Those weren't even there in the first half. So,
all right, John, go ahead, do your Phillies thing.
Yep,
Phillies thing. I am going to let's say right now after this, I'm going to use a Star Trek metaphor right now. If I'm the USS High Hopes after dropping 3 of 4 in Shea Stadium or whatever they call it up there now, I have the bridge on yellow alert, and I might be going to red here soon. I see the same darn patterns from 2023 in 2024 starting to emerge.
Well, that was a mistake.
What was
a mistake?
Well, you wanted the Phillies point. Yeah, there you go, Mr. High Hopes.
Nah, it's disappointing.
There you go.
We're going to be uplifting with the clinching of the division tonight.
Well, it was.
They absolutely are. They absolutely are going to clinch the division tonight, and I think they're going to beat the Cubs by a slow pitch softball score. I absolutely do, but I don't feel really confident about this lineup. 9 hits in 2 games.
Yeah, I agree.
18 strikeouts a game. And here is what. And here are two things.
30% K rate since September 15th.
Yeah, it's absolutely unreal. And why don't they consider this? The top four in the lineup need to be Schwarber, Harper, Bohm, Turner in that order.
You want Turner hitting cleanup?
I absolutely do, and here's why. Turner has lost a little bit of his wheels. He's 31 years old. That's totally fine. He's a basically
it's a
what
good thing
is,
we have him for a decade.
What's that?
No, nothing.
I know, but we basically have to accept him for what he is. He's an athletic doubles and 25 to 30 home run a year guy. That's a great cleanup hitter.
I just thank you for the call, John. They're never going to do it. The strikeouts are going to murder me in the playoffs. It's going to crush me. And I'm finally okay with the Bohm cleanup thing. He is not an optimal cleanup hitter because he doesn't hit enough home runs.
For this team, he's the cleanup.
For this team, he's fine.
Yeah, he should be a 5-hitter.
Yes. Yeah, he's a 5-hitter or a 3-hitter.
Should be a 2-hitter.
Turner's a 2-hitter.
I know.
Flip Turner and Bohmer?
No. I mean, he's where he's supposed to be now because of the rest of the lineup and how it's constructed. I'm just saying, I think he's a 2-hole hitter.
Yeah, 2 or 3, I think. I don't even think he's 5. I don't even think he has enough. I want my 5-hole hitter to have more power than
Pat Burrell, man.
And by the way, I know
Pat the Bat averaged 30 home runs a season.
No, I know.
I know Ken from Cinnaminson doesn't care about the home runs, but his OPS is under 800 now. So
I'm gonna start riding Bohmer now.
Well, there's 4-for-4 game over the weekend.
Exactly. Oh,
you can't ride Bohmer when you're already riding it. There's not enough room.
That's right, not enough room.
Yeah,
slow
been
down,
in the locker room.
Man.
I've seen it. Okay.
It's one click too many.
Yeah, I've been the whole segment. I've been trying to dial it up. Well, speaking of the Phillies, coming up next, we're in a little bit, in about 25 minutes, we'll get you ready for tonight's Phillies game. If you're heading over there, tonight can be the clincher. And it's not just the NL East that is important the rest of this week. We still got to lock up the 1 or 2 seed so we get a bye next week, which I think the Phillies could use. I think every important player on the Phillies, or not everyone, but most of them are over 30. I think they could use the time. And I don't want to limp into the playoffs. So we have that to worry about this week. So we have that coming up, as well as your final calls on the Eagles, and the text line is all coming up, 215-592-9494. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. You can feel free to stop by. Brandon Graham Show coming up at 6. If you're on your way over to the Phillies, make sure you stop by. Chickies and Pete's is your destination for the Eagles and the return of Red October.
All right, football is back, and I'm bringing you the tailgate must-have Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. Now, they're absolutely delicious and available in the convenient variety pack. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part, no bubbles, no troubles, zero carbonation. So you can tailgate like a champ. Ask for it at your local bars and liquor store. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.